Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Coming up, in this bulletin, management at Letterkenny University Hospital have confirmed that the full capacity protocol remains in place this evening. Meanwhile, the government has been accused of being hugely disconnected from the trolley crisis. Businesses which flood this winter will be able to get financial support from the government. It's part of the Beat Winter Ready campaign. A jury has found two Donegal residents guilty of raping a student who came back to their flat after a night out drinking. And the Parent Support Service, Parentstop, has warned against false hopes after Children's Minister Catherine Zappone told the Shannon yesterday she would meet them in the coming weeks. A very good evening. Those stories to follow in full, much more besides. And Kenny Harkin will be here at around 5:15 with all the latest in sport. First in news though, management at Letterkenny University Hospital have confirmed that the full capacity protocol remains in place this evening. It comes as there were almost 50 people awaiting inpatient beds at the hospital this morning. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy again today, and the hospital has admitted a significant number of ill patients. Many of these are currently in the emergency department awaiting beds. In a statement this evening, hospital management apologised for the inconvenience and distress that these delays cause patients and their families. The hospital is prioritising those in most need of care, and this, they say, may lead to delays for less urgent patients. The full capacity protocol remains in place and all efforts continue to be made to identify patients who are appropriate for discharge. Management are also urging the public to attend the emergency department only in cases of real emergency. People should in the first instance contact their GP or GP out-of-hours service.
While the government has been accused of being hugely disconnected from the trolley crisis, almost 650 people nationally were waiting for a hospital bed across the country this morning. It follows the second highest number of people ever recorded on trolleys in Irish hospitals yesterday. Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin says the government doesn't understand the problem.
There simply is a huge disconnect. Either we're not all getting it, or the people out there aren't getting it, and that you have some insight that no one else has in terms of the reality of people's experiences in our emergency departments in particular, and in our hospitals. And Taoiseach, your comments on the moratorium are becoming very irritating and annoying.
Businesses which flood this winter will be able to get financial support from the government. It's part of its Be Winter Ready campaign. A number of Donegal businesses were provided emergency assistance after their premises flooded during Storm Lorenzo. Business Minister Heather Humphrey says similar schemes will be activated again if they're needed.
Thankfully, the damage seems to have been minor on that occasion, but it was important that we were able to give those businesses the reassurances and the support they needed to get back in operation as quickly as possible. And my department will be in a position to activate similar schemes again on an ad hoc basis.
The Parent Support Service, Parentstop, has warned against false hope after Children's Minister Catherine Zappone told the Shannon yesterday that she would meet them in the coming weeks. The support service is set to close on the 30th of this month due to a lack of funding. And on today's 9 till noon show, Parentstop manager Patricia Lee said, while recent debates in the Dáil and Shannon are welcome, the reality is the process of closing down has already started. Ms Lee told Greg Hughes this is not a bluff.
Over the years, we have submitted a multitude of proposals and business cases to all of the different funding and appropriate funding channels. And we've always been optimistic and hopeful that an appropriate value be placed against this resource. So we've held out hope and held out. And this decision that's been taken by the board is really our final option. We've all been notified as paid employees of redundancy at the end of this month. And the charity then will go through the process of winding down with the directors resigning and the charity regulator advised. We have had to let our landlords know, and practical things like phone lines and all of the assets that we have to look at where we're going to give them on to other similar charities. This is not any level of posturing. We're not playing any political game here. And it is, unfortunately, the 11th hour. And I suppose why I'm speaking to you today is I just don't want to raise false hope. We have been talking to our clients since the decision was made in September, and they are all aware aware that the service is closing. And, you know, we've had a huge number of well-wishers and people who have endorsed us and other services who have referred to us. And they're very heartfelt and received with grace, you know, appreciation from all of our team. But the reality is that we are on the road to closure, and we're facing the 30th of November where we will no longer be employees of the charity.
A jury has found two Donegal residents guilty of raping a student who came back to their flat after a night out drinking. 29-year-old Boki Osi of Toobin and Burnfoot and 33-year-old Kevin Opuku of Kilgrania in Letterkenny had pleaded not guilty to rape of the woman in February 2015. Daniel Brennan has more.
After a five-week trial, a jury of seven men and four women took just over 2 hours to return unanimous guilty verdicts. Justice Alex Owens ordered a probation service report for both men and certified them as sex offenders. He also ordered a victim impact statement to be prepared for a sentence date on January the 13th next, and remanded the two Ghanaian nationals in custody to that date. In a trial that began last week, the men had denied two counts of rape. During the trial, the woman, who is now aged in her 20s, testified that she had been out drinking with her friend in a local nightclub and that she was drunk and finding it difficult to walk home. She said the men were in a car and offered them a lift home. She said the men brought them back to a flat and offered them drink, and that's where both of them raped her. She told the court she didn't remember being asked for consent and that she would not have given it.
The brother of Quinn Industrial Holdings director Kevin Lunny says the person who paid for his attack has to be caught for the family to get justice. It's after Kevin Lunny spoke publicly for the first time last night about his violent abduction and torture 2 months ago. He described how he was slashed with a knife, doused with bleach, and had the letters QIH carved into his chest before being left on a roadside in County Cavan. Kevin's brother Tony, who's also a QIH director, believes his attackers were paid.
The net has to be cast, the people that did this and was involved in all respects. And that might be a hard job to get everybody, but ultimately to the root of it, whoever instructed paid for it, because there was certainly money. This wasn't done. There was some of it maybe done out of loyalty. There was some of it done out of maybe promise. But there was certainly a big part, and the nasty part of it was done with money.
Killybegs and Burton Port are to receive a major funding boost, with more than €7.5 million being secured for two new harbour projects. €3.6 million is being allocated to develop a new tourism information centre and digital hub in Killybegs, while €3.1 million is being invested by government to improve infrastructure around Burton Port Harbour, as well as installing shorefront amenities on Arranmore Island. Investment will also be made in facilities which link the island to the mainland. In relation to funding to complete works at Greencastle Harbour, Minister Joe McHugh has committed to work with the department to get the project over the line.
Very much focused on the Wild Atlantic Way, very much focused on tourism, but also very importantly infrastructure, particularly the work that's needed between Arranmore Island and Burton Port. So that's going to be a significant investment, of total investment about €4.1 million, including the council's contribution, but also for Killybegs, the tourism amenity and information and tourism centre in Killybegs, a total investment including council investment of €4.8 million. So upwards of nearly €9 million investment in total, and I would like to acknowledge the council for their involvement, as they obviously had a very strong influence in terms of ensuring that they prioritise these projects in the first instance.
And in relation to the development of Greencastle, there was an application in for there as well.
I know the community there have been calling for this for a long time. Through this application, we tried to do it through the Rural Development Department and Michael Ring Department, but it's too big an investment. It's a €13 million ask. I know the council will be contributing 25% of that. The Department of Marine have to step up to the plate in relation to Greencastle. They have to be part of a two-department process here, and I'll be meeting Michael Creed formally on this before Christmas, because there's a new applications process opening up in January, and I want to see the Department of Marine at the heart of this. They were involved in this project in the beginning. They have to be involved in the completion of this, and this is an outstanding commitment, but also it's in the capital plan. There's money ring fenced for Greencastle within the Project 2040 capital plan, and we have to ensure that we find a way at the beginning of the year to get this across the line.
It's almost 10 minutes past five. We'll be back with more just after this break.
Are you looking out for a new pickup or 4x4? Starrett 4x4 is located just 10 minutes from the Donegal border, specialising in new and used pickups and 4x4s. With over 30 pickups and 4x4s in stock at any one time, check out starrett4x4.com for our full stock list.
Homeland, keeping you warm for less this winter. 40 kg Black Diamond Polish Coal, $16.99, buy 10, get one free. 40 kg Eco Bright Smokeless Coal, buy 1 ton, get 2 40 kg bags free. 25 pound butane flow gas cylinder, only $25.99. Shop in store or online at homeland.ie.
Callahan's Electrical Black November Sale launches this Saturday 9 a.m. Amazing 9 a.m. door busting specials. 60 inch LG 4K Smart TV, only $499, save $300. 86 inch LG 4K Smart TV, only $1999, save $1,400. Limited stock. See Facebook for details.
Call in and see the brand new Joe McGee's Butcher Shop in Letterkenny Shopping Centre, offering a vast range of homemade deli and convenience products, along with incredible meat offers, all sourced locally. Try McGee's 21-day plus dry-aged beef, which looks and tastes amazing. If you have a gathering or party, call into the Glen Car Store to see the wide range of frozen products at outstanding prices. Great variety and quality for all the family at Joe McGee's Butchers in Letterkenny and Glen Car Shopping Centres. You won't be disappointed.
What would you do with all your free time if you didn't have to clean your bathroom? At McDade's, we want you to spend your time on the important things. With our easy clean shower doors, roomless toilets and mould-resistant grout, your bathroom or tiled area will be the easiest kept room in the house. For more top tips, check out our social media channels. Search hashtag bathroom hacks. McDade's Bathroom Plumbing Tiles. Aspire, design, create.
Hello there. Tinny's Toys is now open 7 days a week to Christmas. And the Christmas Club is also open. You can also shop with us in the comfort of your own home at tinnystoys.com. Down boy.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny, where their Christmas Club is now open. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And we say a very good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Catherine. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic games, and Frank McGlynn, of course, has announced his retirement from inter-county football yesterday. That's after 14 years of playing for Donegal. He leaves the Donegal setup with an All-Ireland medal, 5 Ulster titles and an All-Star to his name. Tom Comeck will have a full interview with Frank McGlynn on the GA programme tonight at 7.25, and they delve into the reasons behind his retirement, as well as looking back at some great memories of his time with Donegal. Frank says the reaction to the news of his retirement has been overwhelming.
It's been overwhelming, you know, to say the least, and, you know, loads of messages coming from your own club players and from your own club members, you know, and I suppose getting a sense of what actually it meant, you know, for me. I was playing for Donegal and was part of the Donegal team, but I think there's a wider thing out there, you know, when you do play for Donegal, and to get those messages, especially from your local people, from the people of Glenfinn, and telling you how proud they were as a Glenfinn person to watch me play for Donegal, you know, it kind of gives you, it puts it into perspective of what a privileged position that Donegal players are currently in, and it's something that I suppose when you're playing, you may not be as aware of it, and but it's always a great sense of, you get a great sense of pride for donning that Donegal jersey, and you know you're representing your family and your friends. But it's you know, this past 24 hours is probably really at home that what a privileged position I've been in this past 14 years.
You can hear the full interview with Frank if you tune into the GA programme with Tom Comeck this evening at 7:25. Elsewhere, times and venues for the Ulster Club Football Championship fixtures have been confirmed. Naofe Connell and St Noel's are in their respective semi-finals. Buncrana, they're taking part in the junior final. It'll be a double header for the two Donegal sides at Healy Park and Oma on Saturday the 16th of November, as they both face Monaghan-based opposition. The curtain raiser will be the junior final between Buncrana and Black Hill. That one's on at 5 o'clock. Before the senior champions, Naofe Connell, they take the field at 7 o'clock to face Clontibret. Donegal Intermediate Champions St Noel's, they'll be in action on Sunday the 17th at Celtic Park in Derry, where they take on Tyrone side Galbally in their semi-final. Elsewhere, there's a game in the McCrory Cup round one this evening at 7:30. Inishowen, they play City of Derry. It's in the Skervey in Buncrana. Other Gaelic Games news, Richie Hogan will miss Kilkenny's opening game of the National Hurling League. The GAA's Central Hearings Committee upheld Hogan's sending off in the All-Ireland Hurling Final. Hogan was found to have behaved in a way which was dangerous to an opponent and has been given a one-match suspension. And staying with Kilkenny, the six-time All-Ireland winner Martin Comerford has been added to Brian Cody's management team for the 2020 season. In soccer, they're into the second half of Arsenal's Europa League group game in Portugal. It's currently Victoria Guimarães 0, Arsenal 0. And Troy Parrott could be involved in Tottenham's Champions League game away to Red Star Belgrade this evening. The 17-year-old Republic of Ireland forward has been left out of the UEFA Under-19s league game in the Serbian capital this afternoon. Elsewhere in Group B, Hans-Dieter Flick is in temporary charge of Bayern Munich for their 5-6 kickoff time against Olympiacos. Elsewhere, Manchester City, they will secure their place in the last 16 tonight with an away win at Atalanta. Well, Stephen Kenny is without a host of players for the Republic of Ireland's under 21 Euro qualifier away to Armenia. Troy Parrott's involved with the senior squad this month, while Jason Malumbu and Lee O'Connor are suspended for the game in Yerevan. Dara Leahy, Luke O'Connell and Jonathan Afolobi, they'll miss out on both the Armenian and Swedish games through injury. Aston Villa midfielder Jack Clark, Hearts striker Aidan Kenna and Gillingham fullback Thomas O'Connor all received their first call-ups. Kenny says Parrott will be missed this month.
You know, obviously his first two internationals, he scored at under 21 level, scored 3 goals, which is a terrific return. Helped us to get 6 points against Armenia and Sweden. He played against Italy, of course, and I was quite, you know, unfortunately was sent off in the game. But, you know, we were delighted to have him for the period that we have him, and he did terrifically well. You know, while we want to progress and try and qualify at under 21 level, it is ultimately about players progressing and becoming senior internationals. So I'm absolutely delighted for him that he's called up.
Elsewhere, Northern Ireland manager Michael O'Neill has named an unchanged squad for the upcoming Euro 2020 qualifiers against the Netherlands and Germany. Watford's Craig Cathcart is included despite coming off injured in Saturday's Premier League game with Chelsea. Back elsewhere in soccer news, Dandenong Thunder have announced on their Facebook and Twitter pages the signing of former Australian under 23 and Finn Harps midfielder Harry Ashcroft. Ashcroft has signed with the Melbourne based side, who play in the Victorian Premier League. He played his last game for Harps last week against Drogheda United, scoring the goal that kept them in the Premier League for 2020. And moving on to rugby, Joey Carberry, he'll miss Munster's first two pool games of this season's Heineken Champions Cup. The Irish out half is still recovering from the ankle injury sustained in the World Cup warm-up game against Italy in August. And head coach Johan van Graan says Carberry won't be rushed back. Elsewhere, Connacht captain Jared Butler has signed a new contract with the province. The 28-year-old will stay with the province until at least the summer of 2022. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. Don't forget the GAA programme at 7:25 this evening, where Tom Comack has been talking to Frank McGlynn on his retirement news. Well, that's your sport for the moment. It's back to Catherine.
Thank you, Kenny. Working to enhance and further develop the strong educational links between the Northwest region and the US will be a key objective of the joint cross-border trade mission that's travelling to Boston and Philadelphia next week. The trade mission, led by Donegal County Council and Derry City and Strabane District Councils, will include third level and further education and training providers and development organisations from right across the region. Michaela Clark has more.
The trade mission led by Donegal and Derry City and Strabane District Councils will include third level and further education and training providers and development organisations from the region, including Ulster University, Letterkenny Institute of Technology, the Northwest Regional College, Donegal ETB and Catalyst Inc. The educational representatives participating in the visit from November the 11th to the 15th will not only be showcasing the area's highly educated and skilled population, but they will be working to further enhance the links already made with education providers in the US to develop apprenticeship and workforce development programs.
The latest report from the RSA has revealed that Donegal is among the counties with the highest number of fatal collisions during off-peak hours. An analysis of fatal and serious injury collisions on Irish roads show that more than a quarter of fatal collisions between 2014 and last year occurred during off-peak hours, while almost one in five serious injury crashes occurred. Emma Tyrrell has more.
The latest RSA report shows that 69% of off-peak fatal collisions occurred on rural roads, with Donegal among the counties with the highest number of fatal crashes during off-peak hours. Dublin recorded the highest number of fatal collisions during off-peak hours with 33, followed by Donegal, which witnessed 18 and 17 in Louth. Other findings in the report revealed 75% of fatalities between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. had a positive toxicology for alcohol, and the age profile of drivers and passengers killed during off-peak hours is considerably younger than those killed during peak hours. 37% of drivers killed during off-peak hours were aged under 25. Almost half were aged between 25 and 44, while 61% of passengers killed during off-peak hours were aged 18 to 24.
The Junior Moville Youth Club has announced its closure. The club's former chairperson, Maria Elena Eichinger, says due to a lack of volunteers, it's no longer feasible to run the club for health and safety reasons. Speaking to Greg Hughes earlier today, Ms. Eichinger says despite a low turnout at a meeting on Monday night, it is clear that there is still an interest in the club.
As regards to health and safety and ratio to numbers of supervisors to children, we don't have those numbers because we don't have the volunteers, therefore we can't open the club. Now, I would be still willing to hold another meeting if parents did show interest to come on board and re-establish a club.
What will it take to get another meeting on to get some volunteers together? I mean, this is for Moville and its surrounding areas. I know the great people there who care very much about services and resources in Moville, as we know, would be very keen to see something like this continued.
We still do have interest. Parents are asking us when is the club reopening, but we can't. We weren't able to tell them, yes, it's going to open again in September or October or November, because we didn't have a committee to reopen it. How do we get those parents that want their children to attend to actually come in and help supervise? And it's voluntary, so you can't force anybody to do it.
And Donegal ATB is urging younger people and school leavers who are unsure about their next step to attend the Further Education and Training Fair, which takes place in the Radisson Hotel, Letterkenny, tonight and tomorrow. Tonight's session between 7 and 9 p.m. is aimed at Leaving Cert students, their parents and those in employment wishing to upskill, while tomorrow's session from 10 a.m. tomorrow to 2 p.m. for those who are seeking employment. The ETB's Deirdre McColgan says they've made a particular effort this year to reach out to younger people.
If you take a moment and take a look around, you'll see that Donegal ETB is a part of every corner of the county. We have 11,000 students through community education right through to PLC programmes, so you know we are available in every community within Donegal. Definitely, that's a source of great pride for us. But maybe our in particular for our younger people, do not necessarily think of Donegal ETB as their first or best next step after leaving full-time education. And we'd like to challenge that and say, you know, look what we have to offer. It could be maybe more established among the older profile, but we'd also like to raise awareness among our younger people.
And with that in mind, you do have that special session in the Radisson Blue Hotel in Letterkenny tonight, which is aimed at younger people and in particular at school leavers. What puts that target group in your sights this year?
I think the reality is that in order for us to stay current, we need to evolve and we need to engage across the spectrum. We need to engage all ages within County Donegal. So, you know, we do find that younger people as well sometimes maybe need that wee bit longer to make a decision, or maybe need that extra year to make a decision about what their best next step is, whether that's employment or higher education. And further education can offer an opportunity to kind of develop the emotional skills, the kind of workplace skills that would be essential whether you decided to go into the workplace or continue with your education in another institution. But staying in Donegal also has a huge benefit for us, Donald. These young people, when they stay in Donegal, they find part-time work or they work here, and they develop and they contribute within our own community. So further education can offer a great opportunity to do that.
Weather now. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with outbreaks of rain extending to all areas and becoming more persistent with little to no wind. Patches of mist and fog will form. Lowest temperatures of just 1 to 4 degrees. closing headlines. Management at Letterkenny University Hospital have confirmed that the full capacity protocol remains in place this evening. It comes as there were almost 50 people awaiting inpatient beds at the hospital this morning. Meanwhile, the government has been accused of being hugely disconnected from the trolley crisis. Almost 650 people nationally were waiting for a bed across the country this morning. Businesses which flood this winter will be able to get financial support from the government. It's part of its Be Winter Ready campaign. A number of Donegal businesses were provided emergency assistance after their premises flooded during Storm Lorenzo. And the parent support service ParentStop has warned against false hope after Children's Minister Catherine Zappone told the Shannon yesterday that she would meet them in the coming weeks. That's the main evening news and sport on Highland Radio for now. We're back with the headlines for you at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 6th of November. The death has taken place of Mae Kelly, the Diamond Cardona. Her remains will leave Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, this evening at 6 o'clock, going to her residence at Church Road, Cardona. Funeral from there tomorrow evening at 7 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Cardona, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place in London of Margaret Peggy Doherty, née McGrory, formerly of Bree Mallon Head. Her remains are reposing at St Mary's Church, Lag Mallon, with her wake taking place at Carn Mallon, Mallon Head. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard.